invited two friends to sit down with me and have a talk about this. So Christy Kane is the Kids Ministries Director for the IPHC, and Meredith Light is the Girls Ministries Director for the IPHC. And I just had a candid conversation with them where we discuss our own experiences with loneliness. And we really just pray that you're encouraged by this episode as we kind of tell you our personal experiences of what we've learned and how we found Jesus to be faithful in those seasons. You're not alone, and we are better together. Is that one okay?
So I have a couple of my friends here with me today, and we're just going to have a conversation about this topic and talk about how we've been personally impacted by isolation and loneliness and some things that we've learned through that process. And we just kind of want to vulnerably share with you our stories in hopes that you'll find hope in it for yourself and possibly just identify with some of the things that we've walked through. So we're just excited to share this time with you today. Our first topic or question we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about a season in our life, and maybe it's a couple seasons, but let's talk about a season where you have struggled with loneliness. And this can be pre-COVID, throughout COVID. You can kind of take whatever direction you would like with that. So I'll let you start us, Christy.
Okay. The one that comes to mind is the one that's been most recent, and you guys know, and some of you may know, we moved to Oklahoma City from Atlanta last June, end of June. And I was a pastor's daughter, had grown up in a pastor's home. We moved every 5 to 6 years. So that had been my life. Well, I got to my early 30s and we found a place. We settled in Atlanta and we had kids there. We lived there for a long time, as long as we had lived anywhere. And we built relationships with people as we were working on projects together. We were in church together. We were raising our kids together. And then we felt this call from the Lord to move. And so I'm one of those people that moving seems really exciting at first, and I can't wait, and the newness and change. People who say they don't like change, like, I don't get that. I love change. And so, you know, you're kind of, well, at least I was kind of moving on that adrenaline, and then you get here and it seems okay, but it's really weird because everybody's wearing a mask and you don't remember who you've seen and who you've met. Yeah. And we're trying to go to church and everybody seems like they're a different person and all those things. And then you know, the months just kind of drag on. And the longer you're here, the more you realize, I don't have people like I had people. And you know, you got, like, we're developing friendships, and all of that is really special, and it's been really good, and I'm actually so grateful for it. But when you think about, you've had friendships for 15, 20 years.
It's a lot of investment.
It is. Mm-hmm. And so I think as the months drug on, within that time, one of my very best friends lost her husband kind of unexpectedly. And that, along with a couple of other circumstances, has caused me to kind of go back and forth from Georgia to here more than I expected, which has been a gift, but it's also been hard because it just kind of reminds you of what you left and of what you've lost. And so I would say, although our experiences are unique in a sense, the fact that we moved kind of halfway across the country, COVID has definitely, I think the thing that we've all experienced is COVID has impacted that and has made it hard. And so I think a lot of people probably would say, well, my circumstance might not be moving, but that has made it hard. And so that's walking through that move in COVID has really created, I would say, a loneliness that I didn't expect. And, you know, at the moment, like, you don't see an immediate exit from it.
And I think also, I would assume you're walking through that, but you're, as a mom and as a wife, you're also walking your family through that as well. And so that makes it, I'm sure, so much more difficult.
Yeah, for sure.
Meredith, how about you?
Well, the season that I think of when I think of loneliness was my transition between college life and adult life. I mean, I just felt completely out of control I remember thinking, I seem like a completely different version of myself because I was super extroverted in college. I was involved in so many different things. And then all of a sudden it kind of just all stopped. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like at this camp with my friends in the dorms anymore. And so I just, it was different to transition there, just becoming an adult and realizing, hey, this is everyday life. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to come home. And I remember feeling very lonely in that time. But specifically related to COVID, and listen, I'm not good at talking about this because I don't really want people to ever know that I'm lonely. I think it's probably my personality type. Mm-hmm. And just, I'm a 2 on the Enneagram. I want to care for people. But when people care for me, it's difficult. But being single during COVID has been hard.
Yeah.
Like I lived with my brother and sister or my brother-in-law and sister. And I mean, they had each other during COVID. Mm-hmm. And even though I was with my family, even though they were there, I didn't have that person that I could just run to and talk to. And especially this year, I mean, through the election, through all of these ups and downs in social media, I mean, it just didn't feel like there was ever anybody I could just go to and like, they're solely looking out for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah.
I'm so glad you brought that up too, because I think just talking about singleness, singlehood, whatever the word is for that, is really important for us as the church, because you're a huge part of the family of God, a huge part of what we would call family in our church. And the statistics on single people are really growing. You know, people are getting married later or choosing not to get married. And so it's definitely something that we need to talk about a lot more. So yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up. I think for me, a season that really marked me as far as loneliness was involved in a move also. Almost this summer will be 8 years ago. We moved from South Carolina here to Oklahoma. And at the time, we have a blended family. So I have 2 older girls that are my stepdaughters. And then my husband and I had 2 younger ones that our girls were 1 and 3 at the time. And my mom had retired. She helped take care of my kids. We were in pastoral ministry. And so I just always had my family in my back pocket to help. Mm-hmm. They were my village, you know, and I was young. I was in my 20s. And we uprooted. We had a really quick move, really quick transition. And my girls were little. We're a 2-income, 2-person working family. And so when we moved, I got a job and I was a nurse and I worked night shifts. So my husband and I just kind of passed like ships in the night. And I would work all night, be up with my toddlers all day, often. And then not too long after we've been here, we found out we were going to add a 3rd one to the brood. And so just that adjustment from losing your village, much like what you talked about, was really hard. And not only that, but just for the young mothers out there, you know what it's like when you're in that, you've been through that, but in the trenches of just trying to survive when they're little. I was really lonely. And even though we, you know, I cultivated relationships with people, it took a really long time to build that village. You know, I kind of just wanted my mom and my friends. And so that was something that really marked me. And then throughout COVID, we lost my dad to COVID. And so we went through a really, really intense battle. He got sick on the very early end. So at the end of March last year, when things had just started, he got sick and was hospitalized. And so there was a whole lot of unknowns because this was a brand new road. You know, now we're a few months in, not that it's any easier, but we know a lot more now than we did then. And that was about a month and a half journey of him fighting that illness and then ultimately going to heaven. And so just walking that road, when he died, it was less than 200, I think it was actually around 100,000 deaths in the U.S. to COVID. Mm-hmm. So we were a very small statistic of families that had been impacted by the loss of it. And so really, you know, there was a lot of talk going on social media and just a lot of places, even things that we heard from people like, is this even real? Is this even this bad? You know, those were questions and comments we fielded. Mm-hmm. It was an incredibly lonely time because no one really understood what that was like to not get to be with him, to sit and wait all day on the end of a phone, you know, waiting for a phone call. Very, very lonely experience. So those are kind of 2 dual things that I've walked through in the last several years. So let's talk about, we don't want to be doom and gloom the whole time. So let's talk about what's helped you during your times of loneliness. Meredith, you want to start with that?
Yeah, I'll start. I think probably the thing that's helped me the most is counseling. Mm-hmm. Right during the time when I was just getting out of college, I decided I need to go to counseling for myself. And so I started going there just to kind of talk about things. And it's like, wow, I didn't know there was so much to talk about. And I've just continued ever since then, just continuing to go to counseling. And it's not only helped me process through what I've been dealing with inside, but it's helped me be able to process that with my friends and family. Mm-hmm. Because again, I don't really like talking about myself. I don't like talking about what's going on inside, mm-hmm. but processing that with someone who doesn't see me and interact with me daily was helpful. And then him kind of coaching me on how to talk to my family about it and how to include them in the struggles that I'm facing. And so that's probably been the most helpful thing. And also Jesus, of course, first and foremost, Jesus, but you guys know that.
Yeah. I think counseling is a huge, very important topic. And counseling isn't always, I mean, yes, you can receive great counsel from friends and trusted confidants, but there is a difference between like true counseling by a trained professional that can help walk you through those things. Yes. So definitely something that I'm a huge proponent of. Mm-hmm. How about you, Chrissy?
I think it's strange. I feel like this is a silly response. Marco Polo, the app.
I love that.
But just to be like really honest, I think having a way to connect with my friends who I had left, especially when times got hard. And I have about three different conversations because I'm a big believer in you can't like rely on one person to like, especially one friend is never going to like meet all of your emotional and friendship needs. Only, you know, Jesus is the one person to go back to Jesus.
We're going to tackle Jesus in the next question.
Okay, so then Marco Polo. I do think, like, I've got one conversation that's going on. And if you don't know what Marco Polo is, it's just an app and where you're able to video a conversation. And so instead of FaceTiming where you're just kind of in real time, you record your conversation and then they listen to it and respond. And so there's something a little therapeutic about being able to just kind of put out what's going on. And so I have three conversations that have been really helpful with three different groups. One is just a person that I actually wasn't very close to when I left. But because of that, it's like we've gotten to know each other this way and she feels safe because I'm not there in the midst of some things going on, and I feel safe because she's kind of outside of some of the other things. So that one, and then just my really close friends who I kind of left behind. And then this one has been really neat, a group of two friends who moved as well. And so we're all in different parts of the country. One's in New York, one's in Idaho. And so being able to talk through, even though we're not responding the same way to moves, just really being able to stay connected and have conversations and be able to do that daily and regularly. And we've just supported one another in that way has been one of the most helpful things.
Yeah. And I think the cool thing is that you can make things like that work in the pockets of time that you do have. It doesn't have to be this overwhelming, I gotta set out a conference call and all this stuff. That's the beauty of Marco Polo, because if you can't respond right away, like I've used it before too, and I'll listen to the message while I'm getting ready. And then when I have a minute, I'll respond. And so,
or when I'm just driving, I mean, I'm not looking at it, but I can hear it and I can just talk, you know, and so those kinds of things.
So I think I would say, just realizing that I may have to be the one that reaches out. I can't just sit there and wait for someone to come to me and just read my mind. And, you know, I definitely think that the Lord, puts us on the hearts of others. There's been many occasions where people have reached out to me in a day that I really needed it. And that does happen. But I think sometimes it's people don't always know that you need, you know, and even if it's just, it doesn't have to be a lot of detail, but just like, I'm really struggling today. Like, and I trust you to pray for me. Like, can you do that? And we can take action in that. We don't have to sit on the sidelines and just be alone. It's kind of like, you know, my kids are all at new schools this year. And so they actually this week for the first time are getting to go 4 days a week. So the whole school year, up to this point, they've only gone 2 days a week. So they meet, they're in class with half of their class. So they haven't even been in the classroom with the full 20 plus students or whatever. And they're wearing masks. So they're all at new schools. It's been difficult for them to make friends. And I had a conversation with my oldest the other day. I said, well, you know what? I bet a lot of them are feeling the exact same way you are. So you might actually need to be the one that just reaches out and says hello. And so, totally. It's okay to own the struggle. But also we can't stay in that place. So that's kind of one of the things that, and I think kind of dually with that, I felt like the Lord told me, like, go be the thing that you need. And so in that season, I needed someone. And so I just began to find, it took a while. I think some healing had to happen, but I really just asked him for opportunities that I could go be that thing that I myself needed. And then in turn, I got what I needed. I mean, it kind of works together. So
that's good.
Let's bring the Jesus into the conversation. What have you learned about Jesus? What has he taught you, or what have you learned to be true about him and his character? You can kind of take that any direction, but, what lessons have you learned?
First and foremost, he's not annoyed with me for being lonely. Like sometimes I just feel like, oh, like I'm throwing myself a pity party, but I know that that's not what I'm doing. Like I need him. And I was driving the car. I was like, at the top of my lungs, not screaming at him. Just, I was just talking to him like any normal person would do in a car by themselves. Anyway, I was talking out loud and I heard him say, Meredith, I love you just as much on the mountaintop as I do in the valley. And I want to be with you in those two. I want to be with you anytime, anywhere. So I think that's what I've learned about him in this season is that he wants to be with me. It's not a pain. It's not just another thing he has to check off on a list that he has. Oh, well, checked in on Meredith today. No, he's like, I've got my arms around you all day long. Like I'm here with you. And just remembering that he's present with me. That's something I've learned this year.
I would say, that Jesus was lonely himself. I think like I've been able to go to him as he's really taught me, like that he has walked every, you know, he has walked and experienced every emotion that I'm experiencing. And I had a neat conversation with someone who said, you know, a lot of times we so emphasize Christ's divinity that we forget about his humanity. And that he was a person who was different from everyone else. Nobody knew what it was like to be Jesus. And so if we really believe that he was fully human as he was fully divine, then he fully experienced loneliness and heartache. And so I think, knowing that and learning that in a new way has helped me be able to go to him and pray and understand, like know that he understands me maybe in a way that I hadn't before. And then the other thing would be, I've just been kind of doing a personal study of the book of Ruth and, you know, Naomi, as she's in Moab at the beginning of the story, she's in a foreign land all by herself and her life's actually a lot worse than mine is. COVID and everything combined. And she calls herself bitter and kind of but God doesn't give up on her. He's not done with her because she's frustrated at him and bitter towards him. In fact, we see the end of the story. We see what she couldn't see, that he was always there and he was always so working. And so I think the second thing would just be very similar to what you said. Like he's always there. He's is God with us and even when we feel like we've left him. And so those two things have really helped, I would say, lately.
Yeah, that's great.
What about you?
What about me? I think it's something that I think I've had the head knowledge of, but every time you go through a season of struggle with loneliness, I think you discover new depths in your relationship with the Lord, new depths in understanding his character a little bit more. I think definitely what you said that, you know, he's acquainted with our suffering. Like he knows what it feels like to be lonely. And that there's purpose in our suffering and in our pain and in our loneliness. So I also think I've learned a whole new level of just the grace that he has for us in those seasons. And this stripping, I've said this often, but this is really just, I think the Lord a season of him just stripping stuff from us, stripping us of the ways that we have done church and what we've created it to be, stripping us of maybe our sense of control, because there's a lot of things that have been out of our control in the last year. And so that can feel lonely and isolating. That can lead us to those feelings. And I think naturally we're selfish people and we want to self-preserve and we want to, you know, and so truly being in a place of so much isolation, but you can't control and dig out yourself teaches you a whole new humility and a whole new level of dependence on the Lord. And in those moments, I'm finding him still to be faithful. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean it's not hard. But I don't feel like I've ever felt like his presence has left me. So it's that deep abiding peace and joy that remains, that's not dependent on your circumstances. So that would be what I would say about that. And let's see if we can just tackle really quickly a couple practical things. So any ideas you may have about ways we can be there for each other as a community of believers? What does that look like practically, maybe in the church or in your own personal life with friendships? Any thoughts on that, Christine?
I would think one of the things, what you said just about sometimes you have to be what you need. And one of the ways I've seen that in my own life just is I have to make myself notes to, like, I know I've got a couple friends who are really struggling right now. And then I'm trying to meet new people in my neighborhood. And sometimes I get so absorbed in my own family and my own life and my own feelings and my own thoughts that if I don't write it down, like, call this friend today or text this friend today. And so I've had to just practically do that. And I think too, just trying to take the focus off of myself. And I think you have to temper that with our pain does matter. And it matters to Jesus, and everybody's pain is different. And, but everybody's pain is legitimate. And so I think you have to hold that intention with, we are called to constantly look out, look out, look out. And so I know that really kind of tag teams with what you said before, but those are some of the practical ways. And then just trying to figure out what it means to be a good neighbor. Like just trying to,
I love that.
Loving the people and who are legitimately in my neighborhood, and then those neighbors that I just come in contact with.
It's good. Kind of tagging on what you said earlier. When you're talking to your friends, don't just ask like the blanketed statement of how are you? I feel like for me, when I get that, it's super easy for me to like go through my canned answer of like, work's great, I've been having a fun time, blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, hey, Meredith, there's something actually in there that you want to talk about, but you don't want to. So asking intentional questions like, what's something that's brought you joy this week? Or what has been heavy on your heart this week? What is, what has Jesus been talking to you about? So when you do reach out to your friends, ask them things like that. It doesn't have to be like super heavy immediately, but like, I think I appreciate those friends who know me and who know my struggles that I've been through, and they intentionally ask me things like that. I think that's helpful.
That's good.
These are probably all sounding a little bit the same. But I think initially what I had said, you know, don't stay curled up in your little hole. You can't. It's not good. Now, you can do that for a day or a two. You know, he does give us rest and things like that. But reach out. And sometimes that reaching out needs to be counseling. It needs to be professional help. And there's resources available, you know, to help in that. And also just this neighborly concept of waking up every day and saying, Lord, I don't want to miss an opportunity. Help reveal to me when I might need to slow down and not rush off from that conversation. Another thing that I heard someone say the other day is pay attention to the people that keep showing up in your life. Because there's something to that. And I think oftentimes, you know, it's kind of the same concept of like when you're struggling and struggling to feel grateful for things, like, let's think of 10 things I'm thankful for. And it has that counter effect of helping you. So it's almost the same with this loneliness thing. What can I do to reach out to others that will in turn help me? And I think it all comes down to, it's all about loving God and loving others. And when we're in right relationship with the Lord, it doesn't mean our lives will be perfect, and it doesn't mean we'll be completely whole. but we begin to be able to pour out from the overflow of what the Lord has put in us through our relationship with Him that we can then pour out into others. So thank you guys for joining me today.
Thanks.
Any other quick closing thoughts, or you feel like we tackled it?
I think we tackled it.
Yeah, I mean, we put ourselves out there a little bit.
Obviously, there's a whole lot more to discuss, but we just encourage you to begin to have conversations like this in the places where you are. There's probably someone on your street, someone at your place of work, someone at your church that might need to have this exact conversation. It's not too hard to do. We just demonstrated it. And I just really hope it's encouraging to you. Maybe you can take some nuggets of truth away from it. So thanks for joining us so much as we have talked about the struggle with isolation and loneliness, but that we are not without hope, that we have a great God who's faithful and who's true and who's with us and is well acquainted with our emotions. Have a great day.
It's a joy to share this podcast with you. To help us make Gather even more successful, please subscribe or leave us a review or comment. We truly believe women are better together. Thanks for listening.